Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's COVID-19 daily update. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero, and then also today by Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education. Wanted to be able to talk about education a little bit today and going back to school. Let me first comment on our cases over the last 24 hours. We have an additional 728 cases. Of those 728 cases, 122 are in the corrections arena, and we have 606 that are in the community. We have 17 additional hospitalizations. That brings us to 488. And we have an additional 11 deaths. That brings us to 374. I would add, Dr. Romero will point out that of the 11, six of those were late reporting, so they all did not happen in the last 24 hours, but sometimes they take a couple days to get into the system. Of the 728 new cases that we have seven counties that have more than 20 cases in each of those counties. We have Pulaski County with 110 cases, Washington County with 62, Crawford County with 46, Benton County with 45, Sebastian County with 30, Jefferson County with 29, and Saline County with 24, and the rest being less than 20. In terms of our testing, we've had 5,670 tests over the last 24 hours, and one-third of those have been by the Department of Health, and the rest by commercial labs and UAMS, and we'll cover that in more detail. And let's look at the graphs. If you look at the, and this helps to see where we are right now in Arkansas, of course, the orange would be those cases that what we call in the community, and the white is in the congregate settings. And you can see that, you know, in our total cases, we've been fairly flat, a little bit declining. But with the corrections cases, we're up a little bit today. If you look at our seven-day rolling average, you can see exactly what I just described. Which is that we've been down a little bit, up a little bit, but the main thing is that we're staying below that high point, which is, what, about a week ago, and hopefully we will get that down even further. And then if you look at the number of active cases, this is certainly not a trend, but we've had one day of a reduction in active cases, which is good. And then the number of currently hospitalized is something we watch, we're concerned about, which gives us actually a new high there in number of hospitalizations, those that are hospitalized in Arkansas. And then the seven-day rolling average of positive cases, this continues to be more positive news, better news, and that is you can see the consistent downward trend in the rate of positivity of our cases in Arkansas, and we hope that that can continue. And then in terms of our testing goals, this 120,000 represents 4% of the state population. So we've already done in this month 4% of our entire population in Arkansas. We want to obviously to do more. We've got some more time. And then the next one will show how we're challenged in our testing, because once again, you see the commercial labs in red not producing the same level of numbers that we have had previously a month ago. And so that is a concern to us, even though our Department of Health and our UAMS continues to perform at a consistent level. And then let me see. I wanted to play something if it's going to trigger up in just a second. Some of you might have seen this, but I think it bears repeating, and I wanted to talk about going back to school that we've set for the week of August 24th. Secretary Key and I have visited about this at length. I have visited with our teacher associations. I've met with them. I've met with school principals everywhere I go around the state. So I try to stay in tune as to where we are. And there's a very strong commitment that we need school, that we need to go back to school. And I'm glad we made the decision to postpone school for that two-week period to give our school districts more time to get their PPE, to get their teachers ready, to get their facilities ready, to make the adjustments they need to start school on that week of August 24th. And we remain committed to that. And while we have a lot of work still to do, and the teachers have raised some very important questions that we still have to answer, and there's some things that we can look at that we can help our teachers more, we want to be able to do that. Everybody is together in going back to school and going back to school safely. And we do want to be able to do that, and that's why we're working very hard from a mask mandate to trying to reduce the number of cases, hospitalizations, doing our contact tracing so we can be in a better position as we go back to school about a month from now. But I think it's on NBC News, they interviewed five, not just pediatricians, but pediatric infectious disease experts. And Dr. Jose Romero knows many of these. And I think it was a spontaneous question that was asked of each of those five experts, would you send your children back to school? And I wanted you all to hear those answers.
Would you let your kids go back to school?
I will. My kids are looking forward to it.
Yes. Yes. Period. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As much as I can.
Without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation, yes.
I have no concerns about sending my child to school in the fall.
I would let my kids go back to school.
That's just a short snippet, and I understand that that's the opinion of five experts, but it means something whenever they understand the importance of their children being in school, and that is important for their emotional health as well as their education. And so we need to be committed. We need to be working hard to answer the questions that are out there that are very legitimate, and we're committed to working on those day in and day out as we get ready for school that comes up. With that, let me ask Dr. Romero to make his comments, and then I'll ask Secretary Key to come and to talk more about some of the good programs that are out there in some of the districts as to some of the things that they're planning for this fall.
Thank you, Governor. So I will add a little bit of detail to what the governor has already said. As we mentioned, as he mentioned, new cases are 728. Yesterday there were 699. This is comprised of 606 community cases and 122 nursing cases. As mentioned, there are 488 hospitalized individuals, an increase of 17. We have a decrease of one person on the ventilator. Now we are at 110. There have been a total of 374 deaths. That's 11 more than were yesterday, and the governor has already explained that several of these are from more than 72 hours ago. Recovered patients or individuals in our state are 27,283. Active cases are 6,998. This is comprised of 138 cases from nursing homes, 5,939 from the communities, and 921 from correctional facilities. Our total cases today are 3,655. We continue to test. We have about the same number of tests performed yesterday as the day before, 5,670. The percent positivity for that group of tests was 5.5%, and our average cumulative positivity is 7.9%. As mentioned previously, Arkansas Department of Health Public Laboratory is doing approximately one-third of the testing that is reported. As mentioned, we have approximately 120,000 individuals tested so far this month. Let me make a couple of comments about the individuals on the video. Those individuals are leading infectious diseases experts, some of whom I know, they come from some of the best institutions in our country. They include Vanderbilt and Stanford University. These individuals are very well informed of the current COVID situation in the United States and COVID as it affects children. So their opinions are well respected. And I'll end that here and turn this back over to the governor.
Governor, today I'm wearing my St. Louis Cardinals mask in anticipation of baseball season starting this year, so celebrating that a little bit. But as the governor mentioned, districts all over the state are engaged in their Ready for Learning planning process. And today I want to highlight a few of these Ready for Learning plans and hold them up as examples for other districts as they are looking to benchmark best practices. I'll start with Jacksonville North Pulaski. In their plan, they have a continuum of options that include on-campus and remote learning, blended learning in which the classes will be on campus, aligned with a traditional school day, and with the technology available to pivot to online learning if warranted by the changing conditions due to COVID. They also have a virtual option for the parents that want to opt for that, but they will have in-person on-site classrooms available for all their students. They also have clearly define their safety precautions, including operational and classroom modifications that allow for social distancing, staggered schedules for lunches, eliminating gatherings such as assemblies. Mountain Home, they included a medical doctor and two infection preventionists from the Baxter Regional Medical Center in their Ready for Learning committee, along with parents, teachers, and other community members. They have seven very specific actions that they have listed that start with a strong instructional plan while addressing student wellness, including mental health. They also have very specifically described how the recommended enhanced cleaning procedures will be implemented in the various school settings. And these are all based on the recommendations that have come from the Arkansas Department of Health. They've also had committees of teachers working very hard to make sure that the plans were in place and operational in the classroom and in the school building. Point to Quitman, another example of what a small district has done, but they have used the August 24th and 25th dates to stagger the return of students so that on those 2 days they can acclimate students and teachers to the revised systems, practices, and procedures, and then all students coming on campus on August 26th. Stuttgart, I would give them a shout out for their effective use of social media, using videos at each building so that families and community members can understand the safety precautions that are going on there and changes to routines such as morning drop-off and school meals. And then finally, I'd point to Springdale, the largest school district in the state and one of the most diverse. In addition to teachers and parents, they also included students, and they included representatives from the Marshallese and Latino communities on their Ready for Learning committee. They have instituted a multi-phase communications plan that they have been deployed throughout the summer to provide families the most up-to-date information about their Ready for Learning plan. Teachers are also using video tools to send personal messages to students and families to help increase the comfort level with the necessary changes, such as masks, such as social distancing, that students will encounter when they return to campus. We will continue to work with school districts as they make their planning or make their plans to start the school back in August. And Governor, thank you for your leadership on this issue.
Thank you, Johnny, and I do appreciate the partnership that you've had with the Department of Health in trying to get the schools ready and working with our local school districts as well. With that, be happy to take any questions.
The Arkansas chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a statement with some recommendations, and those include wanting to go county by county on whether students return to the classroom, and counties having to meet certain criteria for their cases, and also a universal mask requirement. I was just wondering what you think about their statement.
Well, I haven't reviewed it myself, so I look forward to reading that. But we're lucky to have here in Arkansas the Department of Health, Secretary Jose Romero, Dr. Jose Romero, who's a member of that academy. I'd like to ask for him to come and comment on that.
So I will have to say that I have not read this. I learned about this just an hour ago. I will look at it and see how it is based and what recommendations are done. I want to leave you all with the thought, though, that remember, this is a moving target. COVID does what it wants, and we need to be flexible and adjust to the circumstances as they present over time. So any recommendations that are made today may not hold true in a week, a month, or 2 months. We need to be flexible.
Leslie?
So, Mr. King, I wondered if you had responded to the Little Rock Education Association about their concerns, asking for a phased-in approach to school this year.
Who's your? Are you asking the question about the Little Rock
Education Association, sorry, teachers.
All right. And about their desire to have a phased-in approach here in Little Rock?
No, asking for a phased-in approach.
Well, we welcome anybody's input into how we open schools, but it is very important that as we open schools across Arkansas on the week of August 24th, that Little Rock School District is not excluded from that opening. It's very important that the children in Little Rock get the education that's needed, and in classroom instruction is very important for that. Johnny, you want to comment?
Just to echo what the governor said, we welcome input from all sources. And I know that the Little Rock School District team has been working, communicating regularly with the union officials, and they have incorporated suggestions. As far as that specific request for a phased in, we have established the expectation that school will start in August and will have in-person, in-class, on-campus offerings. And at this point, we are going to be consistent with that expectation.
Yes.
Where is the number of new cases in regards to the correctional facilities coming from? And then do you know also where the hospitalizations primarily have been within the past 2 or 3 days?
Thank you, and that's a good question. Dr. Romero, do you have the information on where the recent correctional facility is that had the new cases?
I'm sorry, I don't, but I can get that information.
Yeah, I think on both of those, we're going to have to get you that information. Yes?
What are some of the strongest concerns that you're hearing from educators, and how are you planning on addressing those?
Very good question, and as I've said, I've met with some of the educators, and it varies. I mean, in terms of the superintendents, they want to be ready from a physical standpoint, from a health standpoint, from a PPE standpoint. The teachers have their own set of concerns, which are very legitimate, that one is their own safety and health. Secondly, it is about if they have to quarantine any time during the year, how are they going to be compensated during that time? How's that going to fit in with their sick days or other leave time that is permitted under the CARES Act? And they've raised some very good questions that deserve some clarification, and that's one of the things that we want to work on. So there's a lot of details that, and I shouldn't say a lot, we have a lot of details worked out. Some of them are dependent upon the local school districts and their policies that they need to have some flexibility, others that we might be able to address as from a state standpoint. Now, let me emphasize that this is something that, again, is still 30 days out. That gives us time to do a number of things, working on answering some of the questions raised by the teachers. Secondly, it gives us a chance to do better in our number of cases and our positivity rate. And as was pointed out most recently by the UAMS modeling study, that it might be 2 weeks before the mask mandate might start seeing some declining cases. Now, hopefully we'll see it sooner than that because people have been wearing masks for a long time. But if we have an increased level of mask usage, then we might start seeing that decline in cases. Right now we're holding our own, but a lot can change, as Dr. Romero said, in the coming weeks. Let's go remotely and see if there's any question.
Hi, Governor. It's Neil Glider in Hot Springs. I want to ask you about
I hear Neil first.
Hi, Governor. Thank you. I want to ask you about one of your previous executive orders, 2033, with the liability protection for business owners. And in that, it says that it's presumed a business is not willful, reckless, or intentional misconduct in complying with all of your orders. That said, if a business chooses not to comply with a mask order in the operation of their business, are they in jeopardy of not being covered by that executive order?
Well, of course, the mask mandate that just went into effect yesterday is not new news for restaurants and business facilities. And so they have their own set of guidelines that they're responsible for. For example, wearing a mask by a staff person in a restaurant has been required for some time. Now, if they fail to help enforce the mask mandate for the customers that come in, those are questions of fact that would have to be answered as to whether that reflects, that overcomes the presumption that they're acting in good faith. And so that's the best answer that I can give you right now. Those are ultimately questions of fact that juries have to determine and fact finders have to determine. But it certainly is an encouragement and an incentive. And that's one of the reasons we did that liability immunity, is that that incentivizes business to comply with the public health requirements so that they can be found to be acting in good faith and not willfully. So it should be an incentive for them. Another question remotely.
Hi, Governor. This is Jamie Weiss with 4029 News. Two questions for you. My first, at the beginning of your press conference today, you shared a clip from NBC News. I was curious if you had the names of those doctors and experts who spoke about returning to school. And then my other question is, last night the CARES Act Steering Committee met to discuss some of the minority aid funding. A lot of those discussions were postponed, including funding specifically for the Marshallese community. And one individual we spoke with said she's disappointed that that funding is still up in the air given the CDC report. Was just curious what could be done to help support the Marshallese community while CARES Act funding is still to be distributed.
Very, very good questions. And in terms of the recommendation of the legislature for the funding of the contact tracing, the testing of our Marshallese and Latinx community, I am fully hopeful that the Legislative Council will support and endorse that, even though it will be later in the week. There absolutely is some urgency for that purpose. The CDC, as they went into Northwest Arkansas, this is part of their recommendations to have more attention paid to those minority communities. It's very important that we follow through with those CDC guidelines, and this will help not just in that area, but down in DeQueen as well, where we have 2,500 Marshallese in population in Yell County that we've had some challenges as well. So I'm very hopeful that the Legislative Council will approve that. The first part of your question, can you trigger me again on that?
Yeah, I was just curious if you had the names of the experts and doctors in that video clip you shared.
And Dr. Romero, do you have some of the names that were on that NBC clip?
I do, sir.
Kate, could you come up and elaborate?
So, this is not a memory test, I'm sorry, but two of the names are Yvonne Maldonado from Stanford University and Billy Creech from Vanderbilt. And the others we can obtain if you so desire.
Thank you. Another question right here at the table, Leslie.
I'm sorry. I'm going to do this.
We're distance. You're good. You're legal.
So the mask mandate that does have an exemption for people with health problems. So does that mean that now if you go into a museum or a restaurant, you can say, I have this exemption, and you don't have to wear the mask, and you don't have to... Does that provide an out for people going into public places?
Well, that's one of the exemptions, is where they have a legitimate medical reason for not wearing a mask. I'd have to review the mandate again or the executive order to see if there is any documentation that is required on that. I just don't have that in front of me. Dr. Romero, are you familiar with that?
No, sir.
Okay. Another question?
Yes, this is Melissa Zagowitz with Channel 11. Back to that video that you showed, do these physicians live in an area where they have flattened the curve or have reduced COVID-19 cases? You know, or do they live in a place like here in Arkansas where we're seeing a surge?
Well, one of them is right in the middle of California, so you can... So you've got a high rate of cases in California. It's a Stanford area, and so high rate of cases, growing cases, and that pediatrician said without any hesitation that they would send their children back to school. I can't recite where all the other pediatricians live, but I'm sure that's something that is available. Right, any other questions?
Yes. Hi, Governor. This is Susanna with Ozarks at Large. I'm just curious, in terms of the numbers that are reported every day of the positive tests, how accurate is that given that some tests are taking up to 10 days to come back to the health department? So are some of these tests that are being reported today from 10 days ago?
Are you talking about the positivity rate?
No, just the positive tests that are reported, the positive cases that are reported every day?
Well, we report the cases as they come in to us. And so you're correct that we might be getting cases tomorrow that were done last Saturday. But we will record those on the day that they come in to us. And so there can be a lag time based upon how long it takes that commercial test report to get to us.
Okay. But do you feel like you're getting a pretty accurate picture of what's happening currently when some of these tests are so delayed?
Well, as long as we're consistent in our methodology, it is helpful, absolutely, and informative. Now, are we happy with that delay? No, because it impacts our ability to effectively contact trace as well. And so that's one of the reasons we want to accelerate that. We want the commercial testing labs to have more resources and national support. So we hope that's the case. But I will add that our contact tracing has been a very effective tool for us. And we believe it will continue to be an effective tool. That's why we need to invest in it. And even though there's some cases in which it might be 5 or 6 days before that test result comes back, those are by and large anomalies, and that we're consistently getting reports and information that the tests are coming back more in the 2 or 3 days time frame. Now, we can continue to watch that, but it's still very meaningful and useful for that contact tracing that we engage in. I think with that, unless there's something else here that I hear, Dr. Romero, do you have anything else?
No, that was it.
All right. Well, thank you. And tomorrow I'll add that we will be in Fayetteville for tomorrow's update in Washington County. I'll be at Washington Regional Medical Center. Thank them for hosting us. And then we'll be back here Thursday with some additional news that we hope we can provide to you then. Thank you.